This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live.
We're back with the second hour of Free Talk Live. Live Tuesday edition. Phones are open here if you want to dial in and weigh in on the things we've been discussing, which have included the shortages in various different places on Thanksgiving. Insane gang looting. That might be a reason for some of the shortages in San Francisco. Literally dozens of people, upwards of 80 people in some instances, coming into everything from department stores to high-end clothing stores to Walgreens, CVS, coming in and just stealing stuff and running out. Like within a minute, boom, just a flash mob essentially of theft. And it has resulted in, obviously, you know, terrifying circumstances for the employees and other customers that might be shopping at that time, people nearby. People are blaming the government gangs there because the government people are, like, not even charging people under if they've stolen something that's less than $1,000. They're just not even bothering.
It's a plausible theory. I mean, you mentioned a person going into a CVS or something, stealing something, and then going right outside the front door.
And selling it.
And selling it. Right there on their property still.
Yeah.
It's like blatantly illegal, and the DA is just not going to prosecute it or something.
Yeah, I mean, so that may be a factor. It's hard, I'm not going to say that's not a factor, but a bigger factor is the fact that these are undefended properties. There's literally no one with a gun around, and those who are around aren't willing to do anything about it. There's literally a photograph in this article. Walgreens has had to close 17 of its 70 San Francisco stores due to constant shoplifting, with thieves stealing items in front of security guards and then selling them outside of the drug chain's doors. The photograph is taken from behind one of the security guards. It's a TS4, or maybe it says TSA, which is a terrible name for a security company. Private security. You can see his patch on his uniform. The security guard is standing there with a woman next to him. Both of them have their phones pointing down the aisle. They're in, like, you know, one of the aisles at Walmart in the health department or whatever. And there's some dude with what looks like, you know, a large bag. The bag's on the floor. Dude's in a black mask. Appears to have his bicycle inside the store, because you don't normally see a bicycle inside a Walgreens, right? So
they don't really leave them outside.
Yeah, so the thief has brought his bicycle into the store. He's got a huge black duffel bag on the floor, loading product into this duffel bag, and the security guy's just standing there.
Yeah, this is a major issue. This is just outright lawlessness, right? I can't blame these companies at all for closing these stores.
Right.
I mean, the police clearly aren't going to do anything about it. The security guards probably learned that lesson. He's probably been told by his employer, nope, just record it.
Just get the video.
Yeah. Even though that's not going to do any good because the kid's wearing a mask.
And not if the cops won't prosecute, even if you did know who it was.
Yeah, because it's less than $950 worth of stuff or whatever.
A Safeway grocery store recently said it was scaling back its round-the-clock service to just 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. So a 24-hour store now cutting back to, you know, not quite daylight hours, but mostly. San Francisco Mayor London Breed has also been condemned over her handling of soaring crime in the city. And then they get into, you know, political statements from some people. Quote, you really can't run a retail enterprise if you have to board up the windows 5 weeks before the critical Christmas selling season, said one man, noting that he's thinking of relocating his store. He owns the Gumps on Post Street in Union Square. Quote, the fact that the city can't maintain sufficient order that businesses can operate in without fear of being damaged, says it leaves him to believe that city officials have no understanding of how an orderly city is necessary for commerce to function. He says we can't operate a business, so we'll evaluate our options to be elsewhere unless this nonsense ends.
Well, it's not going to end anytime soon. Not until people in San Francisco can have guns to defend themselves.
No, and it's going to get to the point where if you want to actually buy something from CVS or Walgreens, you're going to have to order it online because they're just going to be closed. They're going to be like, look, this isn't worth it. Or we'll sell you something, you know, like through the grate in the fence, right? Like, you know, those not fence, but those metal doors that they'll roll down.
It sounds like that's the best thing that could happen for San Francisco's businesses. I mean, if they want to continue doing business in San Francisco, I can't imagine how else they could actually maintain any sort of profit when dealing with profit loss like this. I mean, you can't do anything as a business owner if the police won't do anything. That's what the entire disarming the population thing requires, is for the police to be armed, for them to be responsive, for them to be relatively on site so that they can get there and do something about this sort of thing that happens. But the police don't care. The mayor doesn't care, and none of them have any idea what the problems really are.
Right, and you can't have a free market in running stores and defense because the government regulates all that stuff. So the stores aren't free to implement whatever kind of necessary measures of men with guns hanging around or whatever they think would make their customers feel safe and stop these brazen daylight thefts from happening.
I mean, just having a shotgun there at the counter would do the trick. No one would openly even have to use it. Just have it sitting there.
It needs to be open. But it'd be better to have a guy standing there carrying it.
And it would be better to have, you know, them trained into how to use it and stuff like that. But even a prop gun at this point would probably solve a lot of these problems.
If you're not allowed to do that stuff, then your only solution is to just call it quits and say, you know what, we're not here to just give product away.
Right.
You know, if we can't run our business profitably, we have to close.
I mean, is the city going to cover these product losses?
Hell no, they're not.
Then you got to get out of that city.
Yeah. So let's go to your phone calls here. We've got Christopher Cantwell on the guest line. He called in from jail. Chris, you're back on Free Talk Live.
Good to be with you guys.
Hey, no problem. We heard the news this week, the trial that you were involved in, the civil case there in Charlottesville, Virginia. For our listeners that may not have been listening over the last few weeks, you've been calling in from time to time to kind of give us updates on this situation where there was a very large case brought against you and some of the other right-wing, whether you want to call them right-wing Nazis and or some of them are probably white supremacists or white nationalists, probably a mix of different...
White nationalists is probably the preferred term for most of them.
Well, they're all different, right? So they probably don't all agree with what they stand for. But you were one of those folks that were sued by this group of people who were the Antifa, basically.
The ones who came looking for a fight, got one, and then cried and went to the government when they lost that fight.
Correct. And they said that there was a conspiracy to commit racial violence, but the return verdict from the jury on the first two counts apparently did not agree that there was such a conspiracy because the jury did not come out with a result on those two things. However, there were some things that the jury came out with a verdict of responsible for, and you were included in that. And one of them was a civil conspiracy at the state level of Virginia. I know you were calling for a reason, but can you explain that a little bit, Chris? Why was that something the jury brought back as responsible, but not the big two charges from the federal level?
So there were six counts. Counts 1 and 2 were the federal, what they call the KKK laws, claiming that there's a racially motivated violence conspiracy, and the jury was deadlocked on those. Counts 5 and 6 pertain directly and only to James Fields, the guy who crashed his car into the crowd, and, you know, it was more or less a foregone conclusion there because he already pleaded guilty to doing that on purpose. I doubt that that's actually what happened, but, you know, as a matter of law, that was more or less a foregone conclusion. Counts 3 and 4 were where the jury came back with verdicts that could not be predicted. And so count 3 is Virginia state law, a civil conspiracy. But it was basically what they alleged was a conspiracy to violate any one or more of half a dozen or so different state statutes, which included, like, harassment and assault and battery, which did not carry the racial connotations of it, okay? So they didn't have to prove, like, a racially motivated violent conspiracy. They just had to prove that that members of the conspiracy sought to break some law in Virginia.
And did they even have to prove anything? Because these are preponderance of the evidence as far as... and can you hang on, Chris, to talk about this?
Yeah.
All right, more here with Chris Campbell, because in a civil case, you don't have to prove something with a reasonable doubt or beyond a reasonable doubt. it's preponderance of the evidence. It's basically like, well, jury, do you think this is likely? So I don't know if you really even have to prove
very
much. Yeah, so we'll talk about what happened at this trial that Chris Cantwell was a part of and found that he owes like $750,000.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and going to stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
An incarcerated individual at Central Virginia Regional Jail. Call is not private. It will be recorded and may be monitored. If you believe this should be a private
the number
call,
if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160.
Free calls, press 1. 1. To refuse this free call, press. Thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation now.
That was clever. I like the way that you did that.
What, take it on the air?
Yeah.
Well, it's because I actually knew it was him.
Right.
Like, you know, normally when Chris calls in, it's during the middle of a segment, so I usually have to, like, mute my microphone. Aria keeps talking as I'm, like, listening on the phone to see if it's actually him. Because, you know, it could just be a spam call. This is just the usual landline, so 90% of the time, it's never someone you actually want to talk to. But Cantwell's back with us here, and calling, I imagine, to give us a rundown of the latest, the verdict of the jury in the case of whoever it was versus Kessler, something with like 16 different defendants, a bunch of plaintiffs, people that were admittedly, according to an NPR story, using the court system to try to bankrupt their opponents, basically, Chris. That's what this was really all about, wasn't it?
Well, more than to bankrupt, to prevent organizing, right? And they've been pretty explicit about it. The entire purpose of this was political in nature. Roberta Kaplan, the lead counsel on the thing, she was parading herself around all of these like ethnocentric Jewish publications, talking about how she was, you know, destroying our ability to organize and to be an effective political force, which is ultimately what they are trying to prevent, and frankly, understandably so, because it would not be in their interest for us to gain political power, let's be honest.
Well, not that it was going to happen anyway, because almost immediately after the Charlottesville thing, the infighting began within your particular movement, and things weren't going well, and then, you know, things got worse with this particular political case, as you say. But they admitted that that was the whole point of this lawsuit, and to just essentially bog you down with court and all of its requirements.
And you can tell that by how desperate they were to find plaintiffs, okay? So, you know, among their plaintiffs, you know, the damages that they're claiming are, you know, I have trouble sleeping at night because I'm so traumatized by you being in my city, and I need an emotional support animal, okay?
Were the plaintiffs even physically at, or were they all physically at the Unite the Right rally as counter-protesters, or were some of them not even there?
There were four plaintiffs who were hit by James Fields' car.
Okay.
The rest of them were, you know, roundabout in the vicinity of things and basically claimed that I smelled pepper spray or the mere presence of you has traumatized me to the point that I have trouble sleeping at night.
Wow. Did someone really say that on the stand? Like, hey, you coming to my city traumatized me and now I can't sleep and I need a golden retriever or whatever?
Well, they worded it differently, but fundamentally, yes. I mean, this is literally the claim that they are suffering psychological and emotional damage from the rally. That's what they're claiming.
Let's come back to the civil conspiracy. As you pointed out, they weren't able to prove their case beyond the preponderance of the evidence, which is a very low bar, on the first two counts of federal conspiracy to commit like racially motivated violence. They didn't prove that, according to the jury, but they did find you responsible and the rest of the defendants for so-called civil conspiracy at the state of Virginia level, and you were beginning to kind of explain that to us.
Okay. So civil conspiracy, the Virginia civil conspiracy law is basically they're suing us for conspiracy to violate any one or more of a half a dozen or so different state statutes, okay? And so this ranges from, you know, the hate crime statutes all the way to like assault battery or harassment, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you say that the fourth count was harassment. And so, like, basically what they, you know, it's a little bit difficult to interpret what the jury said because the jury doesn't tell you which state statute they found you guilty of, liable for conspiring to violate. But, you know, they found us liable on civil conspiracy and something to do with harassment, okay?
Mm.
And so, like, they, you know, if they found us liable for racially motivated violence, then they would have found us liable for counts 1 and 2. They didn't. So they're accusing us of, they're basically holding us liable for conspiring to violate some other Virginia state statute, and they do not specify which one or more state statutes they accused us of violating. But since they didn't find us liable on 1 and 2, we know it wasn't racially motivated violence.
Did they present any evidence of this at the trial? Because I remember what you said on the air was that you barely even knew who these other guys were. You certainly hadn't really had any significant conversations with them prior to this particular event. So, I mean, did they actually show the jury evidence of, well, look, here's Chris Cantwell having a text message with this other Nazi, and they said they were going to beat somebody up this weekend? I mean, was anything like that presented?
No, it wasn't anything that explicit. So, there's, you know, they showed my communications with my co-defendant, which I gave up voluntarily in discovery, right? So, like, you know, but my communications with my co-defendants are very superficial for the most part. And, I didn't really know these people. I still don't really know them very well. And so, you know, they seized on one message that I sent to Richard Spencer, where I said, you know, Jason Kessler, you know, there was some question if our permit was going to be honored, okay? And so when the permit was in peril, you know, Jason Kessler was like, we're going to do the event anyway. And I'm like, look, this is, you know, we're being threatened with violence here. If we don't have a permit, this is going to be a problem. And so I messaged Richard Spencer, and I said, look, you know, Jason Kessler's trying to go ahead with this thing anyway, and I'm, you know, I'm kind of concerned about my carry permit, frankly. And, you know, and I wanted to talk to him. He said, you know, could you talk to somebody else about it? And I'm like, you know, look, I'm willing to risk a violence and incarceration for our cause here, but I want to make sure that, you know, we're not, this is worth it, that we're not throwing our lives away on it. And, you know, he comes back with, it's worth it, at least for me. They seized on this as though this were evidence that, you know, I was planning to commit a crime. Hmm. Well, what they left out, which I showed to the jury, was a prior conversation between me and Kessler, which happened on the Radical Agenda, where, you know, Jason Kessler is basically saying, if the permit is revoked, the police will still protect us, and they'll still keep us separate, and they'll still let us have the park. You don't need a permit to demonstrate. It's just, you know, the plan will be altered ever so slightly or whatever. And he said, you know, if the police tell us to leave, then some people might, you know, be looking at disorderly conduct charges if they refuse to leave. But, you know, this is how leftists managed to dominate the country, was through civil disobedience. We might have to do the same thing, too. And so with that context in place, it sort of took the sting out of this idea. You know, and aside from that, it's, you know, I'm saying is I'm willing to risk a lot for our cause, including violence and incarceration. I said, you know, you heard me and Mr. Spencer have both testified that we do not consider it a risk to get what we want. And so if you're saying that, you know, the plan is to have violence and the incarceration that tends to follow, you know, that is actually contradicted by the message that the plaintiffs are telling you is that is evidence of the conspiracy.
And to clarify your message, you were saying that you were willing to be the victim of violence.
You were willing to risk having violence brought upon you, right?
Well, you know, exactly. I mean, I don't think that I would. I did not specifically say I'd risk being the victim of violence. I'd risk being put in a situation where I had to defend myself, right? Which I ultimately was, and which I ultimately ended up in jail for anyway. You know. And so, you know, despite my best efforts, I got violence nonetheless, and I did end up in jail nonetheless.
I know your time's limited there in the jail on the phone, so you have time for another segment?
Yeah, sure, I'll call you back.
All right, more with Christopher Cantwell calling us from the one of the correctional facilities down there in Virginia. It sounds like they haven't moved him out. The case is over. Jury's, you know, results have come back. I don't know if he has to go back into a courtroom at this point. I think it's a civil case, so there's not a sentencing. The numbers have been issued.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Thanksgiving Day parades across the United States went off without a hitch as many were taking more precautions in light of the tragedy that happened in Wisconsin last Sunday. Fans in several cities noticing extra security measures in place to block off parade routes. This as many selfless acts also take place on Thanksgiving. The nonprofit Operation Turkey in Austin, Texas has been smoking up turkeys and handing them out to those in need on Thanksgiving for years, and this year is no different. Volunteer Brad Boyette tells Fox News,
"There's a lot of people out there that are hurting and that, you know, would like a hot meal on Thanksgiving that just can't afford it. So that's what this organization is all about and what it has been for 20 years.
Operation Turkey cooked 10,000 pounds of turkey this year, giving out 12,000 meals to homeless and families in need. USA Radio News. The Justice Department is asking a federal appeals court to lift the pause on the government's vaccine requirement for large businesses. A brief filed with the Sixth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals says the threat to workers in the ongoing COVID pandemic is ongoing and overwhelming. This as a number of Republican-led states are suing to stop the mandate for businesses with more than 100 workers, including Arizona, where Arizona AG Mark Brnovich says,
"As a result of the hypocrisy of the Biden administration, people that enter the country illegally aren't being forced to have the vaccine, and yet hardworking American taxpayers are being put in an untenable position. The reality is what's next? Are we going to have vaccine stations along our interstate instead of way stations?"
That audio courtesy of Fox News. The Biden family wishing folks across the nation a happy Thanksgiving. Biden spending his Thanksgiving at a billionaire's mansion in Nantucket, Massachusetts. USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Didn't expect to be celebrating with Christopher Cantwell here.
This is a first for me for Thanksgiving, for sure.
But he's with us.
But, you know, I was just thinking, I mean, they're kind of doing him a favor by suing him repeatedly, apparently.
How's that?
Well, jail is not as bad as prison. So if you have a prison sentence...
Well, it depends.
I would rather spend my prison sentence in jail than in a federal prison,
Let's get Cantwell's opinion on that. Cantwell, you're on the line, back on the line here. You're calling us from a regional jail in the Charlottesville area of Virginia as you're being held awaiting a return to a federal lockup facility. Now, to be fair, you are on a communications management unit, and that does it, when you're in the federal prison. So right now you're not, which means you can make a phone call. So you are fairly restricted when it comes to you versus most federal prisoners, right?
Yeah, it's an interesting point that you raise. In most regards, I'd far rather be back at the federal prison. I have pretty cozy confines there. I prefer the accommodations, frankly.
Why? I stand corrected.
Yeah. Why do you see? This is what I've always heard from people in prison. Like in prison, you can get drugs that you can't get in jail. I mean, I'm not going to ask you to admit to anything like that, Chris. But that's just what they say on the outside. They usually have a larger commissary. You can like order a television or like all kinds.
Really?
Of, this depends on the prison, right? So like, what are some points that you would say real quick, Chris, that make federal prison preferable to the county jail?
So federal prison doesn't have much more of a commissary, but the commissary is cheaper. I can't buy my own TV, for example, but I do have an MP3 player, and I have a pretty good AM/FM radio in addition to the MP3 player, and the MP3 player also has an FM radio in it. So I have, just as a result of where I am at the federal prison, I actually have a pretty good talk radio selection. Lacks Free Talk Live, sadly, but other than that, it's a pretty good listening selection. I live on a cell block with 18 cells on it, and there's three TVs. And so, you know, you're sharing a TV with five or six guys as opposed to an entire unit. They have satellite TV there. Here I only have an antenna. I have my own cell. Here I have a cellmate, though a lot of most federal inmates have a cellmate. Commissary is a lot cheaper where I am. This county jail does not have a microwave or, like, cooking temperature hot water, like hot water, like to shower and from your sink and stuff, but you don't have like boiling water on tap. I have boiling water on tap at the federal prison. And so, and also just, you know, in prison, the criminals in prison, reach a certain level before they get there. And so they, you know, I think you're better at doing time, a lot of them, some of the people that you run into in a county jail who might be still like withdrawing from drugs or.
So you're less likely to have, like, the screamers at night. Like, in county jail, there's frequently people that are just screaming or shouting, and they're banging on the doors. You're less likely to get that at federal prison?
Yeah, and if you're such a mental health case that you can't get along with other inmates, you'll end up in a mental health facility by the time you get to prison. A county jail, you know, they house all types, right? You've been through some kind of, like, federal prison classification system that puts you where you belong yet. You're just being held, you know, waiting for something to happen. And so, you know, I think most county jails have some kind of, like, psychiatric, you know, care facility in them, or, you know, sometimes you'll end up in a regular psychiatric facility.
Now, are you at the equivalent of, like, a Supermax? Are you, like, at a high-level security installation?
I mean,
not right now, but in Illinois, in the federal.
So, like, Marion, the federal prison in Marion is no longer considered a penitentiary, but, like, when I put my return address on the mail, I have to say USP Marion, U.S. Penitentiary in Marion, Illinois. It was designed as a penitentiary, a maximum security prison. And the unit that I'm in is a higher security classification because of the communications management. There's only 100, basically 100 communications management unit beds in the entire country.
Wow.
And so I'm in a very select group of people.
You're special.
It was like Ross Ulbricht and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so,
why do they have you in this unit?
Why do I have me in this?
Yeah.
Because they're very afraid of me gaining political power, believe it or not.
Okay.
They don't want him to speak out, basically. And when you're in a communications management unit, every letter is scrutinized. You are only allowed to make, what was it, 2 phone calls a week? You have to pre-approve. So, like, basically, you can call your mom, and that's about it, right?
Yeah, I can call. There's very limited who I can call, and they're very quick to block the contact. We've mentioned before that I'm not allowed to call you, for example. The only reason I'm able to do this is because I'm in the county jail. And so, you know, they're very restrictive of my communications. And so while I'm out, I mean, I've probably spent over $2,000 on the phone since they moved me on October 5th. And I'm enjoying it. And I'm not anxious to have the phone taken away from me. But, you know, other than that, I really would prefer the confines of my one-man cell at the federal penitentiary in Marion, Illinois, because, you know, it's more comfortable there.
So was there more about the case you wanted to share with us?
Yeah, here's an important part. So, like, one of the things that happened, the jury came back and said, before they came to their verdict, they said, okay, on count three, can we decide who gets punitive damages? So the verdict form says, you know, for each plaintiff, how much do they get in compensatory damages?
Right.
And then it says, for each defendant, how much do we take from them in punitive damages?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It doesn't say plaintiffs get this much in punitive damages. You follow?
Got it.
Okay. So the jury comes back and says, can we decide which plaintiffs get how much in punitive damages?
Mm-hmm.
And the judge says, no, but only plaintiffs to whom you award compensatory damages will share in the awards of punitive damages. Okay. Now, that's important because if you look at the verdict form on count three, they come back and they say, this plaintiff gets $1, this plaintiff gets $0.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They didn't award them their full compensatory damages on count three, and they gave some of them $0. And then they assessed from each individual defendant $500,000 in punitive damages, and from each organizational defendant, $1,000,000 in punitive damages. And why does that matter? Well, because among the plaintiffs who got $0 in compensatory on count three were Elizabeth Sines, the namesake of the case, and Seth Wispoli, the fake priest who went on the stand. Okay?
Hmm.
And anybody who is listening to that or followed honest media coverage of it knows I personally destroyed both of those witnesses on the witness stand. I made them look like absolute fools. And I exposed them as really horrific liars and made the jury hate them, which is why the jury cut them out. And so I took that as a personal victory for me. That, you know, Elizabeth, if you look at the case and on court listener Facer, Sines v. Kessler is the name of the case. Elizabeth Sines got $0 on count three specifically because I showed the jury that she was lying, and that felt pretty good.
But yet they still hit you with $500,000 of punitive, and then there's another $250,000 somewhere else, isn't there?
There's another $200,000 on count four, and then, you know, somewhere, you know, I have to split the compensatory damages my co-defendants on count four. Now, the other thing about that is, you know, there's Supreme Court precedent and Virginia statutes that limits punitive damages, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And precisely how that works is something that I'm still researching myself. But Supreme Court says if you give punitive damages more than 10 times the compensatory damages, you're abusing a person's due process of the law rights, okay?
Okay.
So when you give someone $1 in compensatory damages and then assess $500,000 for me, that's $500,000 to $1. That's illegal. You're not allowed to do that.
So that might be appealable.
There's going to be some arguing about that. And on count four, you know, to say that somebody's medical bills from the car crash arose from a claim of harassment is irrational and is going to be the subject of motions before the court to see the damages reduced or.
Okay, so this case isn't over yet. Then there's
not by a long shot.
There's post.
Just getting started.
Hold on. So, but not we're not talking about an appeal. You're talking about motioning the current court on this.
I'm going to motion on the damages that have been awarded. There are going to be motions, and then there will be appeals where I say I'm not liable for any of this, but you know, for whatever liability will hold, I want to have the court alter it.
Oh, that's interesting. All right, Chris, do you want to stay or do you got to go?
I should probably get going, but people can send me money at dailyindia.com at the Central Virginia Regional Jail. My email number is 042171. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it. I'm going to put you on hold for just a moment, all right? Stand by.
Okay.
All right, we got more coming up here. We got plenty of time for you. It's a live Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, Turkey Day edition of the show, and phones are open as always. You can take control of the airwaves. Coming up, Thomas Jefferson statue taken down.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
An important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar 4 or more times a day and inject insulin 3 or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. That alerts you in real time to potential spikes effects with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Of course, you can bring up whatever happens to be on your mind. And I do want to say thank you to KC Masterpiece, who is a Free Talk Live Gold supporter of our AMPS program. And the AMPS is a new thing that we came out with to replace the old AMP program that we had to shut down when I blew up the old website a couple of months ago at this point. We got a new site, but I had to get rid of the old one for technical reasons, and it was honestly time. It had been basically the same design for a decade, so time to freshen things up. And so we had to launch a new thing, and Patreon exists now, and that didn't exist in 2005 when we started the AMP program. So it made it a lot easier to just make the switch. So that's what we've done, and several dozen people, about 50 people, have come on board.
Awesome.
Over at the AMPS Patreon. So if you haven't yet done so, we sure would appreciate your support. You can do it for as little as $5 a month over at amps.freetalklive.com. That takes you right to the Patreon page where you can learn more about some of the perks, some of the benefits that you'll get if you sign up over at amps.freetalklive.com. We go to your phone calls and thoughts. Major Payne is on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Major.
Hey, good evening. Happy Turkey Day.
Same to you. Go ahead.
Yes, make sure we squat before we gobble, right? Anyway,
I think it's the other way around, but okay.
I don't know what he said.
Well,
he said squat before you gobble.
Oh.
Yeah, well, you want to make sure the exhaust pipe is clear before you fill the tank,
gotcha.
Right?
All right, dude, what were you calling about?
Well, I'm going to forego my first topic that I talked to you about in lieu of... I'm going to have a hard time outdoing your previous caller, but... I've got some jailhouse stories. I've done time in the county, and I've done time in the federal facilities.
Oh, wow.
One of them was really scary. One of them was all right.
Which one was scary?
Well, let's go back to the county, because that's where it all begins. I remember that our jail used to sell jailhouse space to the more southern counties, Flint, Saginaw, and whatnot.
Okay.
Right? And up here, we're basically a Caucasian community. And down there, the ones that are incarcerated ain't. So we had, you know, trouble bunking with us. And these are, you know, multi-man units. These aren't like little two-man pods.
You're saying that there's an open-air unit where people are just, there's dozens of people in a large area with bunk beds, basically, that kind of situation?
Yeah, you would not believe the, with the crap they feed you, you would not believe the gaseous state that we have to live in. But I remember one time, this big black fella was messaging, just continually messing with this little white cat. And they used to have a thing that we could get on the commissary called a hot pot. You know, heat up your water for your coffee and your ramen noodles and such. Well, he commenced to beat this big fellow with the hot pot.
Oh, my God. It's terrible.
Well, he had no recourse. I mean, what are you going to do, beat him with your flip-flop?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, yeah, so they took the hot pot away from us. And then a few months later, one of these geniuses got the idea that they should start snorting pepper and doing pepper bombs. So they ended up taking the salt and pepper away from us. And the food that they served was sucked so bad. If you didn't have some sprinkles, it was intolerable.
Oh, man.
Yeah, jail food is terrible, man.
It's actually not that bad in New Hampshire, honestly.
But anyway, yeah, so this thing all started many, many years ago, better than two decades.
The day that you were, hold on, go, before you go on, Major Payne, the day you were in jail, Aria, was like the worst day as far as the menu, because it was like
that crap was inedible,
cheese.
Man.
It was the grilled cheese lunch day that you were in there for, and that's like literally the worst lunch that that you'll get while you're in there. So it was bad timing in that particular case.
Well, there's no such thing as good timing, right?
No, that's true.
But, okay, I feel a little better than knowing that not every meal is like that. But I took one look at it, I was like, no, I'm probably getting out today. I'll just eat when I'm at home.
They had decent turkey dinners a handful of times when I was in there.
Okay.
Anyway, Major Payne, go ahead. So what did you think between, the comparison between jail and federal prison in your experience, was one preferable to the other?
Well, the first time I got hemmed up on a Michigan misdemeanor when I was out west.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw me in Yellowstone Jail. And I have never been so insulted, humiliated, depraved, and deprived in my life.
Hmm.
We got an hour out a day in two-man cells that were meant for one man.
Mm-hmm.
The food was horrid. But this place was so ancient, it was haunted.
When you think about it, food is like something that we need every day to survive. Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of a big deal. If
it's
the food
important.
Is bad, then it's worth mentioning. So it was haunted?
This place was haunted, yeah, and I actually sent one poor soul through the gate to the other side.
Oh, really? Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was a 300-pound black guy. And he'd been locked up in there about a year before I got there, a year and a half maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't get out of the shower as quick as the screws demanded that he should. And he's all wet and greased up, and they tased him to death.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
And, yeah, I used to see this flash go by my cell, you know, like 3 o'clock in the morning every damn night. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about this.
Jeez.
So you put a spirit to rest?
Yeah. I told him, I says, dude, I says, you know somebody on the other side that you think made it to heaven. I says, if you call out their name, they will turn on the light. Walk into the light. And all that screwy stuff stopped happening that day. There was still another couple. There was a couple of people. One dude hung himself over the railings with his bed sheets and whatnot.
God.
I mean, there was more than one ghost in there. But this black dude was, he was tormented.
Well, I mean, if you're tortured to death with a taser, that's understandable.
I had a dream in there that you wouldn't believe. I don't even want to share it with you because it was scary.
Give me a breakdown, Major Payne. I've asked you a few times now. What is your opinion? Was Chris Cantwell right? Is federal prison preferable to county jail in your experience? You're giving me some bad stories from county jail, so, you know, what about fed prison?
Well, this basically was a county jail, but it was used as a federal facility.
Sure, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of county jails where federal prisoners are held temporarily, usually. They're not usually there for their full sentence. But prior to
I did like 8 months in that damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got out. And I was out west, dude. I had no friends. I got cut loose on the street in my slippers in the middle of winter.
Oh, man.
And they expect me to march around and find a job in Montana.
Where are you going to go to sleep?
Right? I went to every damn dollar store or Salvation Army or just trying to find a pair of shoes that fit me. It wasn't happening. Finally, I did get blessed with a good pair of boots, but that's another story. But anyway, I drank a couple of beers one night, and the feds have this magic mouthwash, piss test, whatever. They can tell if you had two beers 4 days later.
Mm-hmm.
So I violated. Well, then I got sent to a decent federal facility. And I had to do 4 months in that damn place. But
so you were in a county jail, but you were there on federal charges for your whole sentence?
That's correct.
Oh, okay, that's fairly unusual, but it must have, so it was a short sentence then, right? How many months?
You don't never want to go to jail in Yellowstone County.
Thanks, Major Payne. I appreciate hearing from you. There's a lot of places. I mean, generally, you don't want to go to jail.
I would say that's generally true.
But there are some places where it is not as bad as elsewhere. So, I mean, thankfully, I have not gone to jails outside of New Hampshire. I went to Cheshire County, which is the county in which we do this show.
As I understand it, that's as good a jail as you could hope to end up in.
We call it the Cheshire or the Keene Spiritual Retreat. And the food there, I haven't been there in a decade. I went there for civil disobedience a decade ago, spent 58 days in a row in that facility, and worked in the kitchen. So, I got to see a lot of the food up close being made, and, you know, there were real eggs. And, it wasn't a bad setup at all. And the jail that I was just at, where you and I, you were held for just the day. I was there for 69 days. Our friend Nobody was there
for six
months. He was there for. It was very similar to Cheshire County. The food, similar level of quality. I didn't really have any issues with the food at all. Whereas sometimes you hear these just horror stories, like with Major Payne, and he didn't get into it with us, but like how bad the food was. But plenty of inmates will tell you. And I was told in Cheshire County by inmates who'd been in like Massachusetts jails that Cheshire County was like Club Med by comparison as far as like the food quality was concerned. So when other inmates are telling you, this is good, you know, food for a jail. Yeah, I mean, it's not like high quality restaurant
right.
level, but it ain't terrible. I'll tell you that.
Well, I mean, if you're going to hold people against their will in cages, you should at least feed them well,
yeah.
right?
And I'll say this: it's what I looked forward to. Right?
Like, but there's not a lot to look forward to. Release in the next meal.
Yeah. All right, so 603-283-6160. And, of course, it was nice to get mail from people. I look forward to that, too. But you never know when that's going to happen. More coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.